Everybody else has stopped saying it, but for Christians, literally, every Sunday is a mini Easter celebration, and we have a seven-week period called the season of Easter, so Easter is more than just a day. Easter is a major season in our church year. White is on the altar, the Paschal candle is out of place, and it is lit. I thought we only lit that for baptisms and funerals. Well, there's something theologically important going on there, too. And on this Sunday after Easter, the second Sunday of the season of Easter, the reading is always the same in every corner of the church. And that is Doubting Thomas. We pray that God would richly bless us as we hear His Word and receive His gifts today. A couple of words on our worship service. Heard in the prelude, our opening hymn is number 477, Alleluia, Alleluia, Hearts to Heaven. The third verse is a Trinitarian verse, and we'll stand on that third verse. Following that opening hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 1. Setting 1, that's on page 151 and following. This setting of the divine service is an especially good one during the season of Easter. We sing the hymn of praise, This is the Feast, during this festival season, and thank the Lord at the end of our service. So those will be our options that we'll be singing during this season. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank You for the joy of the resurrection. We thank You for delivering the resurrection to us individually in the waters of holy baptism. And now, Heavenly Father, we ask You to bless us that we would live as Easter people, basking in the joy of the forgiveness of sins, knowing that our salvation is secure, we are set free to love You and to serve one another. Heavenly Father, may this Easter joy pervade every aspect of our being and overflow into our lives. Heavenly Father, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and resurrected for us and for our salvation. Amen. Amen. Hymn 477.
Thank you. in service, setting number one, page 151. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We turn to the words of our introit. We chant them together as printed on your bulletin insert. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For for this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Almighty God, grant that we who have celebrated the Lord's resurrection may by your grace confess in our life and conversation that Jesus is Lord and God. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday of Easter is written in Ezekiel chapter 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you. And you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are clean cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken and I will do it, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is written in 1 John chapter 5. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God that He has borne concerning His Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning His Son. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with our Alleluia in verse. We stand for the Holy Gospel. According to St. John, the 20th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Continue with hymn 470. You may be seated.
Thank you.
love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen. Text for our meditation this morning, the Gospel reading from John 20 that we heard just a moment ago, especially these words. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in His name. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, one of the most unique things about the hymnal that we use, Lutheran Service Book, LSB, a variety of divine services so that we can be traditional and yet have lots of variety. The service that I get the most comments about is Divine Service 4. Well, it's a little shorter, maybe that's why. Some people really, really love it. It's kind of a hymnic style of liturgy. Others don't love it. But there is one part in that service, the Alleluia and the verse, that everybody loves. Seemingly the best part of that whole divine service. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And then we get to sing some Alleluias like we did before. These words set the stage for the hearing of the Holy Gospel. These words are a part of our Gospel reading for today. And they seem almost like an afterthought, don't they? You know, in the first half of John chapter 20, we have the thrilling account that we heard last week, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And then in the second half, we have this equally thrilling account of the disciples all locked up, doubting Thomas. And then at the end of the chapter, oh, by the way, these things are written that you may have life, that you may believe. What things is the Holy Spirit who inspired the Apostle John to write these words? What things are we talking about here? Well, in one respect, we can equate this to all of Scripture, all 66 books, the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God. But specifically, and in this context, we are talking about not only the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, but this amazing account of doubting Thomas. Doubting Thomas is not really doubting Thomas. Sorry to break the news to you. Nowhere in this chapter does the word doubt appear. Thomas is an unbeliever. Thomas has denied the faith. Thomas has fallen from grace. How could this be? Well, I suppose this Thomas was a little bit less of a disciple, right? No. In fact, one of the boldest confessions of faith given by any of the disciples is earlier on from Thomas, when Jesus is talking about moving on to Jerusalem. Thomas stands up and says, "Let's go there together. Let's die together." That's how bold and how strong Thomas is. But Thomas has gotten to the point where he cannot believe. How in the world could this happen? Well, think back to Good Friday. Where are the disciples? Remember what happened? In the Garden of Gethsemane, they all skedaddled. They all left. When the going got tough, they ran. When it seemed like something would be demanded of them, they weren't up to the task. They forsook their master and abandoned him. Oftentimes we will look at the denial of Peter or the betrayal of Judas. All the disciples left him. All the disciples abandoned him. In a certain way, all of the disciples betrayed and denied him. All of them. John was in the courtyard along with Peter, where Peter's three-time denial takes place. John is present as Jesus is crucified, but all of the other disciples are gone. They're gone. And now, it's Easter Sunday. These reports are filtering around. The body's gone. Did somebody steal it? Is it a giant hoax? Could it possibly be that Jesus rose from the dead? He talked about it all the time, remember? We thought He was talking about words or images or metaphorically speaking. Could it be true? So now the disciples are together for fear of the Jews. The doors are locked. They are afraid. What are they afraid of? Well, they came and arrested Jesus. They crucified Him. If they discover we're one of His followers, maybe we're next. But there's another kind of fear that's going on here. In light of all the abandoning and denying and betraying, if Jesus really is alive, if He does come back, maybe it will be like Dirty Harry in The Enforcer. He will not be pleased, and we will be first. My friends, it is a terrible thing when you are gripped by fear. You can't think, you can't eat, you can't sleep, you can't work, you can't function. It is a doubly terrible thing when you are gripped by fear and you are afraid of God. That guilt, that worry, that shame. This is how the disciples were. They had the door locked. If Jesus really had risen from the dead, what good is a locked door going to do? See, when you're gripped with fear, you even lose your common sense. Jesus shows up. Jesus does what Jesus wants to do. He shows up even though the door is locked. Jesus shows up. But Jesus doesn't come back as an enforcer. Jesus doesn't come back as a condemning judge. Jesus doesn't come back and demand payment or punishment. He's already provided all the payment and punishment on the cross of Good Friday. He comes back with a word. And that word is shalom. Peace. Peace be with you. This is the forgiveness of sins word. This is why it's one of the last words that we hear in our liturgy as we are going forth, redeemed, forgiven, fed. The peace of the Lord be with you. Remember who you are, forgiven children of God. The disciples are kind of happy, but they're filled with doubt. And so Jesus says it again, peace be with you. This is why I came. This is why I'm here. This is the message that I bring to you. Peace, forgiveness, life, and salvation through my wounds, through my bloody death and glorious resurrection. And get a load of this. I'm going back to my Father and I'm giving you this message of peace. This is your job. I am commissioning you right here. Go into the world and proclaim peace. When you forgive someone's sins, they are forgiven. When you do not forgive someone's sins, you bind them in their sins because of their hard heart. This is the office of the keys. And how my message of peace will go on to the four corners of the world for all time. There was a problem. Where, oh, where is poor little Thomas? We don't know. We don't know what Thomas was doing. Maybe Thomas was out getting groceries. Maybe Thomas was watching the big game. Or taking his kids to soccer practice, or gymnastics, or hockey, or... we don't know. Maybe Thomas was so depressed because Jesus was dead. He had cut himself off from everybody and everything. We don't know. But what we do know is that he was not present and he missed out on a face-to-face encounter with Jesus. And then when somebody said, oh man, you missed it, Thomas. Jesus was here. It was great. Showed us His hand, showed us His side, told us all kinds of wonderful things, breathed on us, filled us with peace. Thomas confirmed his unbelief. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Lest I see it with my own eyes, touch it with my own hands, I will not believe. I can't imagine what those ensuing 7.5 days were like. Wonder what Thomas thought. Could it really be true? Are these other disciples delusional? Are they all mentally ill and I'm the only sane one? Or is it the other way around? Maybe he spent this entire time praying and begging God for forgiveness. We don't know. But what we do know is a week later, when the disciples were gathered together in almost exactly the same way that they were on that first Easter night, guess what? Thomas was there. Just in case it's true, Thomas was there. He wasn't going to miss out a second time. That's why this gospel reading is always read the Sunday after Easter. The Sunday after Easter is when all this took place. Jesus is there. Oh, Thomas, Thomas. Take a look. Take a look. Reach out your hand. These wounds, testimony of my love for you. I was dead, but now I'm alive for you. The peace that I speak is really, really for you. One of the boldest confessions of faith recorded in Scripture, right here in John 20. My Lord and my God. Doesn't get any better than that, folks. My Lord and my God. And then Jesus gives, almost some cryptic words. Jesus says to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. How many times in our lives, in the midst of joys, more often in the midst of tragedy or sorrow, times when we are gripped with fear, human fear, divine fear, oh, if Jesus could only be here, if I could only ask Him a present, if He could really, really be present with me and I can ask Him a question and find out, only if He... We've all been there. My friends, do you realize what Jesus is teaching us right here and right now? Jesus is teaching us. We are blessed. Even though we are not a physical witness of the resurrection, as the people were during these 40 days after Easter and saw Jesus during His many resurrection appearances, we are eyewitnesses by the eyes of faith. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. When we, like Thomas, for whatever reason, whether it's a good reason or a bad reason, whether it's a selfish reason or a serving reason, whenever we cut ourselves off from the body of Christ, from the gathering, from the assembly, we are putting ourselves, our faith, and our children at risk. Every time. Every time when we cut ourselves off from the Word of God, from the means of grace, we are cutting ourselves off from the very life blood that God gives us. These things are written. These things are proclaimed. These things are taught. These things are distributed so that our faith would grow, so that we would believe that Jesus is who He says He is, the Christ, the Son of God, dead, crucified, buried, and risen for us. The forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. How many times aren't our lives a mess simply because we have cut ourselves off from the shalom, from the peace that Jesus brings? It's not a one-time shot, folks, like some performance-enhancing steroid. It's our life. It's who we are. We can't live without it. My friends, today, on this Sunday after Easter, Jesus has a message for you. Now, I don't want you to be disappointed because the messenger is nothing to look at, nothing to brag on. In fact, probably just the opposite. In spite of the messenger, here is God's message for you. Shalom. Peace. Jesus doesn't come and bring peace like the rest of the world does. No, His peace is different. His peace surpasses that of all human comprehension and understanding. His peace is real. His peace is bought with His own holy, innocent, precious blood and His innocent suffering and death. His peace is marked by the victory over sin, death, and the grave for you. All of your sins are forgiven. Perfect love drives away all fear. 1 John 1. Jesus Christ is perfect love for you. Rejoice. Don't be afraid. Your sins are forgiven. All of them. Even the sin of neglecting, despising, or being apathetic toward Christ and His Word and His gifts. You are free. Free to love God and serve one another. My friends, the message continues. The message goes forth. This message is for you, and this message will be proclaimed. Repentance and forgiveness of sins through Jesus and Jesus alone until He returns again in power and might and glory. And then we, like Thomas, will be able to boldly proclaim as we see our Lord face to face, "My Lord and my God. Come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly." Amen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. We say and confess the faith. This morning we use the words of the Nicene Creed, page 158. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God, God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day He rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray.
Holy Father, You raised up Your Son from the dead, so that He might bestow upon us His Holy Spirit and the forgiveness of sins. Grant that we might live joyfully as those who have been crucified and raised with Christ in holy baptism, and that we might boldly testify of Him, His forgiveness and peace to all who will hear. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O ruler of all, You appoint rulers and officials for the sake of order and peace. Watch over those to whom You have given authority to govern in our community. Give to them integrity and a desire to serve those placed under their office, even as You work all things for our good. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, You sent Your Son to proclaim liberty to captives and healing to the sick. Grant this healing to all who suffer any sort of affliction, especially Beth, Marge, Lynn, Nolan, Marlene, Steve, Celeste, Diane, Chip, Janice, Disney, Max, Joanne, Nevaeh, Rosa, Ed, Nick, Vicky, Zoe, Jocelyn, Chuck, Daryl, Susan, Jan, Callie, David, the mother of Steve Botger, Clee, Sonia, Anne, and Dwayne. Heal the sick. Free those bound by sin and suffering. But above all, fix their eyes on You in the midst of their afflictions, giving them comfort in Your victory over sin and every evil. Lord, in Your mercy, O Lord, You are the giver of every good gift. We give to You great thanks and praise for the gift of 50 years of married life to Cletus and Beth Dobish. As You have blessed them throughout the years, so bless them in the years to come, that their love for each other may grow and flourish. Lord, in Your mercy, Heavenly Father, Your Son spoke peace to His disciples as He showed them His hands and His side. Grant penitence and faith to all who gather to receive His body and blood this day, that by this Holy Supper we might rejoice to receive the peace of the Lord always. Lord, in Your mercy, Almighty God, Your Son died and now lives forevermore, and He has the keys of death and Hades. We give thanks that You have remembered Your covenant to the saints who have gone before us. Comfort the mourning with the sure and certain promise of the resurrection, especially the family of Adelric, infant nephew of Bob and Jenny Reeder, whom You took to Yourself on Wednesday. Lord, in Your mercy, into Your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in Your mercy through Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping with us on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of peace, forgiveness in Christ Jesus would be yours today and always. This time also we worship God with our gifts and offerings.
We stand for the offertory, page 159.
Our God, we praise You, Lord, for all Your kindness to me.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death. And by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, Holy.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
and precious blood of our crucified, risen, ascended, and returning Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith till life everlasting. Go with peace, with great joy, your sins are forgiven. Amen. We stand for the post-communion canticle, Thank the Lord. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give to you peace.